Palm Sunday text, Mark 11. We're going to read a few verses here in this chapter. Mark 11 and verse number 1, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Praise God. Now this is one of the three major feasts of the Jews. This is the feast of the Passover, which commemorated the deliverance of the Jews from the Egyptian bondage, and also was a reminder of the fact that God is the deliverer. God is the deliverer. And but Jesus, this day, there are high expectations on this day because a lot of the Jews believed that Jesus was going to come and make an announcement that he was the Messiah, that he was the King of the Jews. And so Jesus called two of his disciples to go to the little city there next, just a little village just outside of Jerusalem, to go there and to find a colt, a little donkey, tied up there, and to bring him to Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. Now, in scriptural times, if a king entered into a city riding a horse, then it was a sign of war. That the king was announcing war or entering into a battle or a war. If he entered in on a donkey, it was significant because it really was a message of coming in peace, in humility, and in peace. And so that's what's going on here on this day in this text that we read to you from Mark chapter 11. They came into the city and the people were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They cut down palm leaves, strode them in the pathway before Jesus. And Hosanna just is really a prayer that just simply means, Lord, save us. It's also a declaration. God has power to save. And so that was the message of what was going on that day, and their praise and their rejoicing was so exuberant and so loud that some of the religious leaders tried to say, quiet down a little bit, too much. And Jesus said, if they don't praise me, even the rocks are going to cry out and praise me. So it's an amazing day of celebration and praise to the Lord. But I want to talk about something a little different. I want to talk about the little donkey. I want to talk about the little donkey that they went in and that they borrowed, they untied, and they brought that donkey to Jesus. Now, just a few things about this little donkey. The Bible says that this donkey had never been ridden before. You know, everything in the scripture has significance. Everything is important. This was so important that 450 years before this event, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse number 9, prophesied about this event and this day. Zechariah 9 and 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." So all those 450 years before, it was prophesied, this event, and so it is significant, and everything in Scripture is significant, and there's always a message in everything that's recorded in the Word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. His Word is powerful, and it is significant. Now, everybody wants their life to matter. Everybody wants to pursue things and use up their life to have significance, to be important, to have something that your life, everybody wants their life to matter. That's the reason why the people pursue education and they pursue, you know, things like travel and good times and accumulating things like houses and property and cars and all the things that are available to us. Now, but when your life comes down to the end, then when you really measure your life and the significance of your life, it's not going to be in the sum total of what you did, what you accomplished, or what you owned. It's going to be in the fact that you made a difference for the kingdom of God. You made a difference for eternity's sake. And I see some lessons even in this example of this little donkey that we could learn some things today and just realize what's really important, what is really significant in our lives. First of all, this donkey, while he didn't realize the importance of what he was to do or what he was being called to do, but what he did do was he carried Jesus, the Messiah, and put Jesus up on display to all of Jerusalem and to all of those Jews. You see, our job is not to convince people or to persuade people to believe upon Jesus, but it is our job to put Jesus up on display. Amen. Our life should be a life that we are carrying the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist or a missionary, but all of us are called to put Jesus on display in our lives and through our lives. Amen. And so, John chapter 12, it says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And so our task, much like this little humble donkey, our task is to carry the message of the gospel, to carry and display Jesus Christ to a world that needs to know the Lord. We are called of God to carry the message of the gospel. Amen. We are called of God. Not only that, but this little donkey was a beast of burden. He was a service animal. And too often we want to have titles. We want to have positions. We want things, you know, of acclaim. But the reality is we are called of God to be like this little donkey. We are called to be servants. That's the real call of God upon our life, to serve. The disciples who were debating about their greatness and their position with Jesus, and they quickly realized that it's the person that, not the person that's wanting the chiefest position or the chiefest place, but the person that is servant of all. That's the one that has significance in the kingdom of God. Finding that place of service, how you can serve in the work of the kingdom of God, that's the most important thing in your life. Amen. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service to God and to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's how to best find yourself and where you belong in this world as a Christian, is to be a servant and to be available to be used of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, another significant thing about this little donkey is that he was young. He had never been ridden before. There's other places in the scripture where certain animals, like certain oxen, that were going to be offered for sacrifices, that it said of them, they had never had a muzzle upon them. They were set apart. They were set apart to be sacrificed unto worship unto the Lord. This little donkey had never been ridden before. It was as if God chose this little animal that was to be his and only his for service to him. You want to be used of the Lord, then understand that God calls us to be separated unto his calling and his work and his ministry, to be separated from all of the influences and all the things of this world, to be available to God and to be his alone. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Our life is to be a life set apart to belong to the Lord for him, for his purpose, for his calling, for his work and ministry, whatever that it might be. We are to be set apart unto that task. No doubt you've heard the song, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee." Ever only all for Thee. What an important thing it is that our lives, and I just would say especially to young people, you can do a lot of things with your life. You can spend a lot of your energy, your time, your money on a lot of things in this world. But don't forsake the call of God. Don't forsake the importance of doing the will of God and to be separated unto the Lord and to the purpose of God and the call of God. Much like this humble little animal, this little donkey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the scripture says that the Lord told them, go into this little city, this little village, Bethany, Bethpage, and you're going to find him. He's going to be tied up. And when you find him, loose him and bring him to me. Loose him and bring him to me. Do you understand that if you want to be available and used of God, you're going to have to be set free? You can't be entangled with all of the things of this world. Amen. If you're not careful, you know, the more things of this world you have, the more problems you have, the more worries you have. It's hard to get free. I've heard people say, well, I want to do more for the Lord, but I've just got this responsibility and this
this entanglement, and I just don't have the free time to do what I want to do. Well, you need to get set free. Amen. In every area of your life, get set free so that your time and your schedule and your money and everything about your life that can so easily get so entangled with the things of this world that you cannot be what God wants you to be. Amen. Get set free. Amen. By the power of the Spirit of God. Remember that? That story of Martha and Mary preparing a meal for the disciples and for Jesus. And Martha is cumbered about with so much stuff. She is so overwhelmed. But Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she is there worshiping the Lord. Martha is having a hard time because she's working. She's cumbered. And Jesus said, "One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her." Nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. Glad for all the Marthas that are busy working and doing what they're doing. Certainly we need the Marthas as well. But never to the neglect of the most important thing, and that is serving Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, gleaning from him and from the Lord. So we have to, if you want to be used of the Lord, you're going to have to get cut free from some of the entanglements of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to get set free from some of the entanglements that have hold of your time and your schedule and your responsibilities. If you really want to be used of the Lord, get cut free. And then he said, "Loose him and bring him to me." Bring him to Jesus. Amen. Now this was just a common work animal that was getting ready to be used for a very uncommon task. Amen. So when you give your life to Jesus, Jesus takes your life and he, which is just ordinary, I'm ordinary, you're ordinary, but whenever God gets a hold of your life, he can do some extraordinary things with your life. Amen. When you give your life to Jesus, he takes it and he uses it in ways that you could have never imagined. When you put your life into the hands of the Lord, your time, your talent, your treasure, everything that you are, when you put it into the hands of the Lord, he can do with you what you could never dream or never imagine. Amen. Amen. I remember the story of the little lad with the small lunch. There's a great multitude of people that need to be fed. Thousands of people that need to be fed. All they had was just that one small lad's lunch that was given to Jesus. But once that small lunch is put into the hands of Jesus, he is then able to multiply it. He is able to perform a miracle and feed thousands of people that day. And it just is a wonderful example to us of what God can do with your life if you put your life into the hands of the Lord. He can bless it. He can multiply it. He can work through what you are. Amen. And cause wonderful and mighty things to be accomplished in your life. Amen. We see the example in many places in the scripture, but certainly it was true of the disciples that Jesus called to follow him. They were commoners. They were fishermen. They were called later in the book of Acts, these disciples, ignorant and unlearned. But once they were in the hands of the Lord, once they had the touch of God and the call of God upon their life, then they became something that God could use mightily. Amen. They became something that literally turned the known world upside down by the power of the gospel. So once something is placed in the hands of the Lord, God can do wonderful and mighty things with it. Amen. And so once again, especially young people, I just want to encourage you, Put your life into the hands of the Lord. Get loose. Don't get entangled with the things of this world and this life. Give your life to the Lord right now. Right now, when you're young, commit your life to the Lord. Put your life into the hands of the Lord, and He can do some things with your life that you could never have ever imagined. Amen. Amen. Jesus told the disciples, if someone stops you from taking the donkey, you just tell them the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Now, I think that we all recognize that God, who is the creator of all of the world and all of the universe, God doesn't really need anything, does he? He doesn't need anything. He's the self-existent one. You and I, we need everything. We are completely dependent upon God, who is our strength and our provider. He's the very breath that we breathe. We are dependent, but God. So for those words to be side by side seems kind of strange. God needs it. The Lord needs it. Does he really need it? Well, he has chosen to use the weak. He has chosen to use the humble, the base, the insignificant. God has chosen. The Lord needs it because he has chosen to use the weak and the humble. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen to use you and me, just like he chose to use that little humble service animal. He chose to use them. And you and I have been chosen of the Lord to be used of God to carry the gospel and to shine the light of the gospel to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Amen. Praise God. So yes, the Lord needs you. And he needs me. He needs every one of us to commit ourselves to him and to the call and the purpose of the work of God and the work of the gospel and ministry. Every one of us in this place today, we have the call of God upon our life. We have been called and chosen of the Lord to be used of the Lord to shine the light of the gospel to a world that desperately needs to hear it. The Lord has need of it. Amen. Praise God. He has need of it. But notice here that it also says that straightway he will send him hither. What does that mean? Well, it just means when he is through with the donkey, he'll send it back. He'll send it back. Amen. Some other places, other versions, it says it'll be sent back immediately. Another version that says it'll be soon brought back. Amen. Amen. You understand that whatever you give to God, whatever you make available to God, it will come back blessed. Amen. It'll come back blessed. Amen. That's just the wonderful thing about serving the Lord. You can offer to the Lord everything that you have and give it to the Lord and commit it to the Lord, and you never outgive God. It just comes back to you. It comes back to you, just like this little donkey was returned. Praise God. Let me tell you, folks, you can never outgive God. However you serve God, however really to think about it, we shouldn't think about our work for God or our service to God as sacrifice, because really, you can't sacrifice enough. It just keeps coming back to you. Amen. Now, certainly, it comes back in a lot of different ways, and it certainly comes back maybe in other seasons of your life. But you just see the hand of the Lord when you review your life. When you're young, maybe there was some sacrifice involved, but now when you look back, you recognize, oh, that wasn't really sacrifice, because God has blessed that. It's come back to me, and God is blessing and helping and providing in ways far beyond anything that I could ever, ever imagine. Glory to God.
Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, shall it be measured to you again. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, what a lesson that we need the reminder that you may think sometimes, oh, I'm sacrificing for God, or I'm sacrificing for the kingdom of God. But oh, you don't see the big picture. You don't see it right now. But as you sacrifice and give and do whatever calling or task that God has given to you, it's going to be returned. And it's going to be returned with blessing. And God is faithful to show himself strong in your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's no such thing as sacrifice, really, in the kingdom of God, because the blessing is returned, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. Glory to God. God blesses and returns again and again and again. I remember as a young person going through the crisis of decision about, you know, life and future and the call of God and the ministry and all those things. I've mentioned this a lot of times over the years, but there was a particular day I had decided that I was going to go to Bible school, and it was a tough decision. It really was a hard decision to know what to do, and especially to go to the school that I was going to. It felt like that it was going to be all sacrifice. It felt like I was giving up my life and everything, but I knew this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And I can remember on one particular day when two of my friends, these were good guys, but they just didn't have the same burden or the same calling that I had. I remember they pulled up in the front yard of our house, and my friend was driving a almost brand new Camaro SS. And I was thinking, wow, look at that car. That is amazing that he has got this. And I had a $400 Volkswagen Bug. And the heater hardly worked. The only heat there was in it was heat that come off the engine. The engine was in the front or in the back, rather. And it was cold. It was miserable. And it's all I had. But it's really all I needed to get me there. And every possession that I had of value, which wasn't that much, but I had a set of Pearl Ludwig drums. And anybody that knows anything about drums, you know, those are good drums. They're sought after. They're desirable. And I had worked and worked and saved my money to buy those drums. And in order to go to Bible school, I had to sell them. I didn't have enough money to get to school to do that. Now, I'm telling you that sad story, not because now when I review those decisions that it was a sacrifice. Oh no, no such thing. Not a sacrifice now when I review it. I recognize the hand of God that and God's blessing and God's help all down through the years, in trying to follow the will of God, trying to do the purpose of God all these many years. I don't see it as sacrifice today. I see it as God's blessing just coming back again and again and again and again. Glory be to God. Amen. There's no such thing as sacrifice when it comes to what you do for God and for the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. A man by the name of William Borden graduated from Chicago High School, 1904. His family was the Borden fortune. He was a millionaire when he was born. He was born into a millionaire family. And he was the sole heir of the fortune of all of that Borden fortune. William Borden, when he graduated from high school, his family gave him the gift of to travel around the world. So he spent the summer traveling to Asia and to Europe and to several countries. And Borden had, as a high schooler, had become a Christian, gave his heart to the Lord. And as he traveled in Asia and Europe and those nations, he wrote back home and said, I feel called to be a missionary to these nations of the world. He came back, his family wanted him to go to school, so he went to Yale University. This was in the early 1900s. Yale University had at that time about 1,500 students. William Borden started an early morning prayer meeting and a Bible study. At first, it was just with a handful of people. The first year, it grew to 300. By the time he graduated from Yale, it had grown to 1,300 students that were meeting in groups every morning. Not only that, but he started some ministries to New Haven, in that area of Yale University, reaching out to people in that community that were in need, the drunkards and those that were destitute and in terrible shape, and he began to reach out to them, sharing the gospel with them. After he graduated, he traveled to Asia to be a missionary in China. He was a missionary there. At the age of 25, he got sick with meningitis and he died. It was on the front page of American newspapers that this millionaire missionary had died. They said he threw his life away. He threw his fortune away. But when they got his belongings back, in the flyleaf of his Bible, it said, no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. William Borden. He gave his life, and all of the sacrifices that he made, the seeds were sown, the ministry went forward, and God was glorified and honored in his life. When you make yourself available to the Lord, to please the Lord, our calling is to lift him up. Our calling is to introduce Jesus, to glorify Jesus in a world that desperately needs Jesus. And you have been called, all of us here today, we have been called. In a few weeks, we'll have some heroes gather in here, missionaries that'll gather in here. But all of us here in this congregation, we too have the same calling. Now, you may not be called to travel to a foreign country, but we all have a calling to be used of God in whatever purpose. And when you do that, when you put your life into the hands of the Lord, he can do just like the Lord used that little donkey to glorify Jesus and to bring praise and honor to the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. His name was glorified. And when you put your life into the hands of the Lord, God can do amazing and wonderful things with it. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the example of the scripture that's given to us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would all take it to heart and be reminded, Lord, that we are significant in the kingdom of God. We do have a place. There is a work we can do. There is a ministry we can fulfill. When we place our lives into your hands, you can do wonderful and amazing things with it. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. It really makes no difference what your age is, young or old. You can make yourself available to God. Amen. Lord, use me. Lord, that my life would have an eternal impact. Praise God. That should be all of our prayer here today. Amen. And no sacrifice. No sacrifice is too great. That you can put your life and your future into the hands of the Lord and believe that He can use you for His glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know, there may be some here in this service today that you've just been living your life to satisfy your desires, your plans, your whims. But today is a good day to consider the fact that the Lord needs you. The Lord has need of you. And He wants to put His hand upon your life. And once you're willing to say yes to the Lord and you put your life in His hands, there's just no telling what God could do with a life that's committed to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. I want to welcome everybody to